Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet. Of course you knew that. Where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. In the studio today, I'm sorry, there's only one man in the studio.
I can only get this is the last person I called after 22 people.
Yeah, he said, oh yeah, I'll be there in a minute.
Thanks for thinking about me.
In the studio today, I've got CJ. Good to have you, brother.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes, and you are a man. There's no doubt. And by the way, congratulations. You've got your third child coming.
Oh,
and
yes.
And your wife
yes.
is so enthusiastic, and she's feeling a little under the weather in the morning, isn't she?
Yeah, she's my hyped-up self is not good, so I'm constantly...
But that's because... You're saving all that love and joy and compassion when you see her.
Right? Yes. Yes.
Stuff, right?
Yes.
And because you know that she is suffering.
Yes. She has
morning sickness.
Yeah, morning sickness. Pretty bad. So she's been throwing up. So, and I know that.
You know what? It would be nice if you threw up also at the same time so that just kind of feel a little.
So we could bond together.
Empathize, yeah.
Have a bonding experience.
Yeah, you'd have to be in the sink or the. Yeah, whatever.
Well, our first son Isaiah, while she was during her morning sickness, I had to go to the hospital because my back something happened. Anyway, so I came home, but while I was at the hospital, I got food poisoning, and so I come home, so I'm throwing up, and as I'm throwing up, my back is I'm holding my gut, and as I throw up, then my back is so I'm just in agony, and then my wife is right next to me on the floor because she's throwing up too because she was pregnant, so we are both in the bed. So what you said has happened.
It's happened.
It's happened.
It's come to fruition. Yeah. Oh my. Well, that's a pretty good story, actually. We're going to maybe have you at one of our...
That was painful,
co-ed teachings and have you guys be able to share that with everyone else.
I'd have love in the worst of worst.
Really, no kidding. But congratulations. Well, hey, guys, we didn't forget about you. We know that you actually come to hear about why it is that men do the things that they do and how we deal mm-hmm. with life and life on life's terms, so to speak. But... Our main topic today that we're going to be talking about is how do you become the hero for your family, for your wife, for your children?
Mm.
How do you become their hero? And we're going to talk about that, and you might be surprised at some of the answers that might take place.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we always like to kick it off with a little bit of encouragement. No, that mm-hmm. was not the encouragement about throwing up with your wife if she's not feeling good.
How to bond with your wife.
How to bond.
Hey, all right, here we go.
Wait a minute.
I'm ready to go.
How do you know?
Just listen.
Okay.
All right, this is, I actually took this from Charles Spurgeon. God save us from living in comfort while sinners are sinking into hell. So the encouragement is to stop living for ourselves. Why are you laughing? It's because it's not really an encouragement. It's more like a kick. So the encouragement is to quit living for ourselves and quit trying to seek our comfortability in the world. There we go.
Let's go back. Where was that? You read that.
It was in the middle of Isaiah. It was just a quote thrown in.
Just a quote. And is that Charles Spurgeon?
The Prince of Preachers. That's his nickname. He was it the late 1800s? He died.
Okay, so the late 1800s. Okay, a little history here.
Late. He was, I think he died in the 1890s or something like that, 1880s. But he started preaching, I think, when he was like 17 or 19.
Yeah.
And he went from there. He had his own church when he was like 20. And then he moved into I can't remember the name of the church, but when he was early 20s, then he ended up speaking to the Queen and King, and they didn't have microphones back then. And after that speech with there's like 10,000 or 15,000 people there, he slept for 24 hours straight because they had to boom their voice back then. Yeah. They didn't have microphones or anything.
He actually, there's a story about him also when he spoke in England at the what was known as the Crystal Cathedral back there. Mm. Now, again, they didn't have, they used their voices, they mm-hmm. used microphones. And he came early to test to see if his voice could be heard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he used a specific verse. I don't recall which one it was. But anyway, there was a worker that was there behind one of the pillars, okay, mm-hmm. In this cathedral where the guy was considering suicide and stuff. And he heard Spurgeon just do his practice verse and spill it out. And this guy
reached him.
He thought it was like the Lord talking to him. And he ended up becoming a convert. And
really?
You know, yeah, so it's a very cool little story. And so
I think I've heard it, but I got just hinges on my brain, so things just fall out constantly in my memory.
People
aren't
going to understand what you're talking about. It hinges on your brain.
I have a horrible memory out there, so I constantly forget things. So
you just have a
selective retainage.
Yeah. See, control freaks are like that, you know, because they're always trying to think of the next thing they want to say instead of just listening to what people are saying.
So, yeah,
right?
I'd agree. I'm in agreement.
I'm
in agreement.
I am one. So anyway.
Me too.
So it's a good thing we have a producer who can actually shut us both down and play music in the meantime. So, all right. Well, hey, good encouragement. I forgot what it was.
But to quit living for ourselves.
Quit living for ourselves, man. And living for others.
Well, to do the great commandment thing is, if we don't do the great commandment, do we truly love God? Or not the great commandment, the great commission, do we truly have a love for God if we don't do what he tells us? So, because it tells us if we believe in him, we'll do what he tells us. So.
And he says, hey, just me first, and then love others.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? There's nothing else. He says nothing else matters.
Yeah.
So
I think for living for herself.
And if you want to know why nothing else matters, read Ecclesiastes and listen to Solomon. And he'll remind you what life is like without God.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That's exactly what Ecclesiastes is all about.
Amen.
So anyway, so let's get into this thing. Okay, we think of superheroes. We think
Hulk.
Of, I'm sorry,
Hulk.
Okay,
yep.
I'm not asking you to name him.
I'm telling you, that's my guy right there.
We think of superheroes. Most guys would think of like Superman. Some might think of
Hulk,
the Hulk. Okay. Flash Gordon, or Flash, I should say. Back in the day,
that's a little older.
Comic books,
that's a little
old
older.
School and stuff. That's where Superman began.
If you're older than 40,
And if you were watching cartoons all the time, it was Mighty Mouse was a hero too.
Yes,
you know. And but anyway, but a hero, being a hero today, a hero as we grow and become mature it has a little bit more meaning. Yes, we think about those caricature or cartoon heroes that were in our minds in the comic books or what we lived with to watch cartoons.
Growing up with.
And yeah, exactly. And yet, as we get older, we begin to realize some people who are heroes in our lives, people who have impacted our lives and others' lives in a positive way, okay? It's not necessarily someone who is going to be doing wrong or evil that becomes a hero, unless you're in the darkness and that's your, you know, what you're seeking. But the majority of people, and I like to think the men who are listening, are looking for, you know, can acknowledge a hero by what he accomplished. Usually, when he's not thinking about it, just does it because that's who he
that's
is.
That's who he is.
Okay? Not who he's trying to be.
Well, it takes years and years and years of obedience to Christ to make that come into effect. You just do it and it becomes natural. That's the kind of person you are.
And but we wanted to, and you kind of jumped it here a little further. You know, I'm trying to slow you down a little bit because you always want to get right into the, okay, let's get into the, you know.
The meat.
No, but here's the thing. As we think of heroes, and let's just kind of move up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, and this is old school, okay, we used to have, you know, they said go out and play outside. Today they said, you know, go ahead and grab your
Game Boy
or mm-hmm. whatever it is, and
so your
things
phone.
Things are different. Mm-hmm. Okay, today you went out. In my case, with my brother, and we used to have a little part in the yard that was all dirt, and we created our own mm-hmm. little mountains and little roadways
I did the
and
same
stuff,
thing.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, but we also played with army men. Okay,
mm-hmm.
little plastic green guys,
I did the same.
And
mm-hmm.
they were all the same colors. Man, I wish they'd make different colors so we could tell who's who. So we used to paint the helmet, try to paint the helmet, but the paint would come off because it wouldn't stick to the plastic.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is that we played army. And so we were, and I remember always saying, he's the hero. He's the one on top of the mountain. He's the one who got us, you know, and this and that. So the military, there were heroes, okay? And I used to always say, because you watch John Wayne stuff.
Yeah.
John Wayne. What's the other guy with the white hat and the mask?
Zorro.
Not,
Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger, yes. Yeah. He was a hero, okay? John Wayne, of course, was a hero. Then you start watching some of the Westerns and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. The guys from Bonanza, they were all heroes, right? And it's so on and so forth. But these are the people that actually became heroes in our
lives.
We looked up to
him
and said, oh, yeah. I want to be like him.
Why do you think we seek to be a hero? Like, why is it that we have to find something and be like, that's a
well,
hero?
Well, first, because they have... the people are looking at them, okay? I mean, now, mm-hmm. it would depend on our personalities, but for me, I wanted to be highlighted. I wanted people to recognize me. I wanted people to know me. I wanted people to know that I'm a good person, okay? Even though inside I may not feel like, but I want to be like him because he is, look, he jumps on his horse and
he's cool.
and he protects those people.
Okay? And I think that's where even myself still now becoming the hero, and I think this is where the world has a big impact on us, is that we do look at that and we do think that is glorious, is to be the hero.
Yeah.
Jesus was just the opposite. He came to serve and not be the hero in a sense.
And we're going to get to Jesus here. So you keep trying to pull this, you know, otherwise you're going to end up, I'll just be quiet. You can talk to me all the time. You'll just keep repeating the same things over and over again.
All right.
So, but in this realm of being a hero, okay, we see that. We want to be like a hero. So mm-hmm. we start to maybe
imitate them. Yeah.
Exactly. Imitate them, emulate them, whatever, in a sense to where we try to act a certain way. Even in some cases, I remember a kid in school tried to walk like John Wayne. He had a little swagger about him, right? And this kid's like, what are you trying to walk like John Wayne? That's right. And I'm not, you know, and I'm tough. And I'm, you know, he was put it on a little mm-hmm. bit, right? And usually would see sometimes during the time when we used to, as kids growing up, during a time when there's costumes that are usually worn at Halloween.
Oh, yeah,
A lot of people would dress up as mm-hmm. their hero.
My boys do.
Okay.
Yeah, they do.
And kids still do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whether it be Spider-Man or a ninja or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And whatever it might be.
My thing when I was big into lifting and steroids, like I said, Hulk, because that was who I mean, that's what.
I thought it was a Ninja Turtle.
I do love Ninja Turtle. I've watched the new one
ten
times.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
I'm
so
like
that's
a kid.
Squirrel. I
squirrel.
Be careful with you here. Here we go. Okay.
So it, I mean, that took a hold because there's, I love Samson in the Bible. I think that's where Hulk really truly came from was that.
Yeah.
And that is just, I love that. Power is what it is.
Yes.
I love the power, the raw strength, the raw power of it, and I want that.
Knowing that, you're right. The guy's blind, and he's been chained up and everything. He's I just want to talk to people. And he's pushing the stuff. You see him going, I just want to be able to push these pillars. But, you know, he dies in that.
He does. Right? Well, the thing is even more impacts me is that he, after all he's done, he still is able to talk and commune with the Lord right then and to get his strength back and everything back. So it's like, man, what happened that, because the Bible doesn't retell us their conversation or what had took place in his head.
Yeah.
So I was just, so like me, it's like, oh, I wish I could have that. I wish that would happen with me.
Right.
But.
Right. And that's, you know, there's a lot to be taken in the story of Samson.
Yeah, there is.
And that's one that you should, I know that you have your 5, 6, and 7-year-old boys on Sundays that you teach
at
church, right? That should be one that comes up because I'm sure reverence will be there also in a sense. I just think it's so it's really in a sense is it's kind of cute to see. Imagine you talking to these little guys and trying to get them your little army of four or five guys. And,
my little infantrymen.
Little infantrymen. Yes. And but anyway, the fact is that okay. So today, as men, we look at our lives and we don't look at our lives like there's anything that's
like
hero
we have
about
anything,
it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm not talking about. Let's talk about our lives before we come to accepting Jesus, okay? We get to a place where all of a sudden we're just thinking, man, if I look back, that was the dark world I was in. There was a different type of hero there, and I was looking to be someone's hero in that time of sin.
I think a lot of it is to be our own hero. We want glory for ourselves when we're, when we're, if you're a non-Christian or if you're in the sin before you're born or whatever it is, we may desire to be a hero for a wife, whatever. But what it comes down to is because I think we want the recognition of I've done this, I am able to do that.
Exactly.
I have came from nothing, I was able to do that. So give me the praise and give me the honor because I am the hero of my family. So that's a mindset.
That's usually what ends up taking place so often that becomes very challenging that we sit there and go, wow. A hero is really self-absorbed, you know? But in some cases, if you watched certain, depending on what it was, John Wayne didn't act like, hey, I want you to just recognize. He was just kind of letting people know that, hey, don't mess with me. Don't step on this, what I'm doing, because you're going to
deal with it. We were talking about the American Sniper, a movie that you and I watched. I think that was a pretty good example. I know that's mentality that I would have. I think he had a lot of good things behind his motives to do four tours over there. But I also think that he felt like that's where he was able to succeed, to really do well, to get credit. And I think it started to indulge him more and more that he really yearned for that glory, that honor to be able to do something for his country. And I think it kind of got more directed into himself, being able to do something.
Okay. This is the movie critic CJ talking about American Sniper. But which
that's my view.
But you actually still pull, I'm going to reel you back in
Here,
go ahead. You know, on that sort of thing. We are going to talk about that sort of thing. And you made some very good points on this, considering what in today's world, as far as a hero is concerned. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, I want to be able to talk about some of these things that I think are very important for us to realize about ourselves and what is it that actually motivates us to want to be like a hero and what keeps us from wanting to be like a hero. Because there are things that actually are telling us that, man, I don't want to be a hero because of what? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
If God didn't want us to eat bacon, why in tarnation would he have made pigs? Ain't no way I'm giving up my bacon or ham or bratwurst from Hempler's Meats. They're just too good to go without. And Hempler's knows you care about your family's health, so they only use all natural ingredients. Make sure you have your Hempler sausage, dogs, and brats all ready to grill. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com. You'll be as happy as a room full of kids seeing a substitute teacher on test day.
There are a lot of frustrations in any given day, and you can't do much about most of them. But one frustration you can eliminate is unreliable or sluggish internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. They would love to help you gain reliable, super quick internet service for your home or business. Get a free estimate from StarTouch and learn more about their services at StarTouch.com.
you own or manage your own business? Then we invite you to advertise your business on our talk shows here at faithplace.org. We can offer really affordable commercials with a highly engaged audience. When you advertise on our talk shows, you'll enjoy the added benefit of knowing that you're helping our talk show ministry to continue offering hope and godly counsel to listeners in your community and around the world. To get details on advertising here at faithplace.org, send an email to info@faithplace.org. That's info@faithplace.org. We look forward to partnering with you.
You only need a spark to start a whole blaze. It only takes a little faith. Let it start right here in this city. So these old walls will never be the same.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. CJ is over here just, I don't know what's
being
going
on. Being a goofball.
He's being a goofball.
Yeah, that's
and
me.
Stuff. Yeah.
Goofball Warren.
So one of the things I had mentioned about being a hero, that there's even times when we don't feel like being a hero.
Mm.
Okay? In the times when we look at heroes, we look at them as being righteous, in a sense, okay? Now, the last thing I end up doing is watching somebody who's considered that the world says is a hero, and here he is having sex with someone he's not married to.
Yeah.
Or acting as if he's married to her and stuff, and going, whoa, wait a minute. That's not a hero. And there was, yeah, this is the guy or whatever. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to try to get into a whole lot of this because really the heroes that we believe that are heroes, you find them in the Word of God.
Amen.
You find them in
all
the Old
over.
Testament.
Yeah.
Now, they weren't always have it all together. If you look at David, oh my goodness, you know, he's sitting there and he killed somebody and, you know, he had somebody killed and so on and so forth. So he could have his
murder,
wife and et cetera, et cetera. And this is the father of Solomon, who is the wisest man around.
Friend
who actually
of God.
In Leviticus talks about how vanity, everything is vanity, it's all vanity, you know. But he actually got to that place where he became the idol, his own idol.
Yeah.
God was not in it. So there's a reason and a purpose that God allows all of this to be in the Word of God so that we would learn from this, okay?
I think when, because a lot of times we don't see what takes place behind the scenes with the heroes or whatever that we think, and so we think that it's going to be, oh, I can do that. It doesn't look too hard. But then when we do step up to the plate to do it, we realize all the, or
what
just
it
use
takes.
The plate, the practice that it takes to get there, the hard work that it takes to do what it is, the dedication, the commitment that we were talking about earlier that it takes to get to that point. And a lot of us, when that happens, we're like, whoa, that's more than I expected. I don't know if I really want to do that.
Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to is that we have different heroes, not only like superheroes that we're thinking of. You have heroes, and if you think about it, if for those who like sports, you have heroes in sports. And you sit there and you go, man, look at this guy. He's able to run this team and be able to do this and to get that done. And it looks like, hey, as you're sitting in the comfort of your own home, sitting there going, yeah, I could do that and so on and so forth. Unless you've been there and done that, you know, you think, hey, it's no big deal. Well, why don't you just run that way? Can't you see that guy? He's clear or whatever, you know? It is not like that.
No.
But the fact is it requires a lot of training, a lot of commitment, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that come with that. Sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
Sacrifice.
To be able to acquire the ability to do certain things that people are cheering for.
You got to say, let me go back to when I was really big into lift and powerlifting stuff. I didn't allow myself to do anything on the weekends or anything unless I had gone to the gym and put in hard work. I didn't allow myself. So if I didn't have a good work, I didn't do anything. I didn't go out because it was a way to keep my own self in check, that if I'm not going to allow myself to go do something if I'm not being dedicated enough to do it. And I think a lot of us, we get to that point, even with like Paul in the Bible, everything he he's my hero of the Bible, Paul, because everything he went through, and I want to be like that so much. And then you realize everything he goes through, you're like, man, do I really want to pray all that much all the time? Do I really want to take beatings if I have to? And so you're thinking, man, I want that, but do I want to go through it? And that's the question we have to ask.
Absolutely. That's a great analogy, because I know this. If I say, hey, man, I'm going to put you in a rowboat out there in the middle of the Pacific, just off about 5 miles off the coast here, and let you be. And
I can't
see
swim.
If you can be out there for a few days. Yeah, you're going to be freaking out.
I would be freaking
out. The fact is yeah. that that's exactly what happened to him.
It is.
A couple of times.
Three.
Yeah. And so the fact is that to be able to go through what they have to go through, those that we want to emulate, those who we want to be like, okay? But Jesus is the one that actually has come and been trying to get our attention in so many ways, even through all of these experiences that we've had of whether who our heroes were, from the little army men to the people that we see in a cartoon or in a movie to those that are in
well,
our lives.
It's to the stuff that we go through is to get us to the point so that others can look up to us and say, he's a hero and be like him. But the thing is we're supposed to be so humble and innocent as children, we're not supposed to recognize it. I think if we do recognize, like, oh, I'm a hero, we become like David did in the past, or we just become more self-absorbed.
Well, one of the things that really is part of the requirement of a hero is that there has to be courage.
Amen.
Okay. And courage is so important. And so many of us think, oh, I've got courage. I could do that. If you've never been to war and you watch something like American Sniper, you sit there and go, oh, this is so bloody. I just don't understand. Oh, this is just, this is not even a good thing. We shouldn't be doing that sort of thing. And if you've not been in that type of situation, you don't understand. Now, is that wrong necessarily? It's wrong to talk about it and say that that's wrong if you've not been there and been in that situation. With everything, not just using American Sniper.
Yeah, that's across the board.
That's across the board on everything. Because are you willing to do whatever's necessary to get what you want? Are you willing to go to any length to get what you want? In other words, when you were actually pumping weights and everything, you're willing to go to any length. Make your body look a certain way and to feel a certain way, so that even when it was in others' eyes saying, oh man, that's really close to perfect, you would say, nah, there's a lot more I've got to do yet. You were never reached that.
No,
right?
The thing is I got to the point where people are like, oh man, and they say stuff, and in my head, I got to the point where I am not big or strong enough until I can't wipe my own butt.
Yeah.
That's what was in my head. Yeah. I know I've reached it when I got to that. But if I ever did get to that point, I'd always find the next level. And it's because a lot of the time our own lust will be what we want to be the hero about. So whatever we lust of in the world, we're going to strive to have that so we can be the hero of that in that section, wherever it is. I know my brother, he's educated. He's not the wisest person in the world, but he's very educated. He has a gift with his memory. He's talented. And that's his pride. That's what he wants to be the hero in. But it consumes him. So now he can't even admit when he's wrong. He's at the point that he wants to be the wisest, the smartest, because that's what he wants. He wants to be the hero in that aspect. But he's gotten to the point where he can't even see. He's so blinded by it that he can't even admit if he's wrong now.
And you know, his name is Chris.
Colt.
Colt. Yes, Colt. It was with a C. But anyway, Colt, if you want equal time on the air, call in and with your brother here slamming you.
I love my brother.
But the point is that really it's easier for all of us to be able to see the weaknesses in others and not so much the strength sometimes. But the fact is, when it comes to being a hero, what is it that's really important? Is it the fact that people would end up saying something, say, this is great that this guy did this and did that? There are people in 9/11, okay, when the towers came down, that were firefighters, and not just first first responders, but even people who were in the towers.
There are people just trying to help.
Trying to help other people out, to be able to get them out, to be able to do. There are many, many heroes. Mm-hmm.
That we don't
on
know.
On that day that we don't even know about, okay? And many of them were gone. They died that day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I remember thinking that of being a hero, I want to be a live hero. I don't want to be a dead hero. In other words, I often, you know, part of the reason that I always loved thinking about war is that I wanted to be someone that everybody would remember.
Hmm.
But you know what? Here's the deal. If you're that first one on the beach and you're getting shot, are you going to remember to fall on the barbed wire so everybody can go over
that's
you?
That's only the grace of God that's going to.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is being a live hero, is that really a hero? Because why do you want to be alive so that we can gain the glory and honor?
That is it right there.
Yeah.
Because there's a weakness in everything. Mm-hmm. When God's not in the middle of it, there is a weakness because my flesh is of sin.
It's trying to take over every day.
Every time.
Every day.
Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about what this looks like in becoming a hero as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ for our family, for our wives, for our children, for those that we influence. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
If you've been helped by Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, or The Carolyn Merriman Show, there's a super easy way, totally painless way, for you to help our talk show ministry continue. All you have to do is link your Fred Meyer or Kroger or Amazon account to our nonprofit ministry, which is called Great Awakening Productions. To find out how to do that, just click on the purple donate button on our podcast websites. Scroll down and find out how to link your Amazon account, your Kroger account, or your Fred Meyer account to Great Awakening Productions. Then every time you shop, those retailers will donate a small percentage to our ministry. It's that easy. Thank you for partnering with us.
Sometimes you want something permanent to remember a special event, such as a groundbreaking for a new business or community park, or a monument to remember the life of a loved one. Whether it's a bench marker, bronze memorial, or a traditional stone monument, you'll find markers at the most affordable prices through Cascade Monuments. They even have special flag case memorials and keepsake urns. Shop at your convenience online by going to cascademonuments.net. Cascade Monuments, for an affordable, fitting tribute to the special places, events, and people in your life.
Pastor's wife and wives ministry leader, Debbie Chavez, isn't afraid to tackle difficult topics.
The Debbie Chavez Show.
And even when he fails, ladies, because he's going to fail just like we fail sometimes. We stumble, we get messed up, stumble into sin or whatever. In that moment when you feel like, you know, condemning him and saying how disgusted you are in him and all those things that we naturally want to do, what if you were to be very intentional and strategic in that moment and remind him that that stumble, that failure doesn't define him, and that God is using this incident to teach him something and to make him an even stronger and better man, and that you're with him, just all those kinds of words that speak life instead of death to your guy. It's just huge. It's just huge.
The Debbie Chavez Show, podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. CJ and Raul in the studio, in the house, and we're here talking about heroes. Mm-hmm. We're talking about not just specific heroes, but being a hero for our family.
What it takes.
Exactly what it takes. And what, you know, the misconception of so often what we've even felt like is wanting to be a hero for other people and trying to do that in our own strength.
Well, what it comes down to is what are we willing to do to become the hero? Not the worldly hero, but the Christ-like hero that we were supposed to be, not only with our wives and children, but also with others that we mentor, that others are around us that they can see So what it comes down to is how much are we willing to, as my encouragement earlier said, is to not live for ourselves, to actually be a servant.
Yes.
So let me read Luke 22:26. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For Christ didn't come to be served, he came to serve. So that sets the bar of what honor is if we want honor. And the thing is, it's not really us wanting honor. We got to get to the point where we want God to have all the honor. So we got to serve as he told us, so that others can see it and then give glory to him, because they know that we're not able to do anything on our own accord, but that he's given us grace to do it. So somehow in our life, we got to get to the point where we are willing to give up everything that our flesh wants, that we have wanted in the world, so that we can 100% wholeheartedly serve him and do whatever it takes to serve him. So if he tells you you need to go to South America and evangelize, that means you got to drop everything and do it. So we got to get to the point where we're willing. Not that everyone's going to have to do that, but we have to have the heart of saying, Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, give me the grace to do it. And be joyful in it too.
Well, see, here's the deal. And until he calls you to something that you think is absurd, you're not going to understand what it takes. Because what it takes is just trusting in God. Because when he ends up telling you that you need to go to South America and do something there that you think is totally absurd, or not me, that's got to be someone else you're talking to. Everything about you, your heart and everything else is going to accept that. Because he lives in you.
Yeah.
And this is what he wants you to do. There's not going to be anything else but that, okay? But here's the thing, is that fear is the enemy's greatest, one of his greatest tools to use against us, to bring in doubt and despair and all the challenges that would come, because fear is going to keep you from moving forward in being more Christ-like. But fear is actually overcome by what? Love.
Love.
Okay? In perfect love, there is no fear.
Mm-hmm.
And there is only one that is perfect in love, and that is Jesus. Okay?
Amen.
God the Father, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is perfect love. And so when we acknowledge him, when we spend more time in his presence, the more that we are in everything that we do it for him, guess what we're going to be doing? We're going to be doing things that God wants us to be doing with everybody around us.
Amen.
Okay?
Well,
Go ahead.
It's with the same thing with the, I think a lot of times, and even myself, and I grow pretty complacent in teaching my children sometimes. I just will get tired one night, like I don't want to do it. But in the back of my mind and my heart, I want my kids to want to be me. I want to be like my dad. And I know with me being lazy and not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, raising them up, teaching them, that I'm not going to be able to give to them what I have gotten. So we also have to be able to quit being in my life. I got to quit being lazy, and so pity me, I guess is what it is, and serve and be willing to do everything for my family and put myself last. So, because I know I really want my kids to be like, I want to be like my dad. I want to be like him. Not that I can say, oh, look, I'm the best dad in the world. But
truly what it comes down to, what it really comes down to is what do they see in us? If they see me in the flesh because of the things that I'm able to do, and as they mature, don't see that I'm trying to be more like Jesus, okay, then I'm on the wrong boat. And I'm going to end up failing them.
Yep.
They're going to put me up on a pedestal that I'm going to fall from. But if they put me on a platform of saying, look at my dad reflects what Jesus talks about, the way that he is, okay, the way that Jesus is, because he's perfect, okay? Because we're called to be perfect. He says, I am perfect, so you too be perfect.
Amen.
I am holy, so you too be holy, okay? We're not ever going to reach perfection or holiness like God.
Nope.
But we need to seek it. And when we're seeking it, others see that. When they see that, they go, I want what you have.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get what you have? When our children see us like that, they may not like the discipline that takes place, but when they realize that you are not doing it out of anger, but you're doing it out of love, okay, which is two different things.
It is.
And
it is.
When it's done out of love, then there's truly God is present. Now, I'm going to give you a little head start here. Get your pencil out or your pen or your highlighter. Don't think you're just going to remember this. You read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, how to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, it will tell you everything that I would love to be able to get across to you in this radio show about what this is all about. Ephesians chapter 5, you will all of a sudden, and here's how it begins.
What verse?
All of chapter 5.
Okay.
Did I just say it?
You didn't say all. You
I
just
said chapter 5.
Okay.
All chapter right. 5. All right.
All right.
But thank you for reminding me. For you, it's 5, 6, and 7.
Okay.
Anyway. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Period.
That's it, yeah.
Okay? We are to be childlike. That's how Jesus says in the Gospels, come to me as little children.
Mm-hmm.
Bring those children over here. Don't tell them to get away from me. Bring them over here.
Yeah.
And you're to be like them, okay? So that they would trust, so that we would trust him, just like he wants us to trust him.
So, what we're trying to get at here is that in order for us to view, we all want to be a hero. I would think most men all want to be a hero at somewhere
for
in
some,
their life.
For their family,
someone,
or some, yeah.
some mm-hmm. somewhere in their life. I would say most men want to be a hero in something. So expect, and you really should be for your family. That should be one of your highest priorities for your family, is to be a hero for them. Not so you can say, oh, look what I've done, but the fact so that they can look up to you. So Ephesians 5 is what we're getting at is, so correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong. Go ahead. Before you lose it, go
yeah,
ahead.
There, okay, so that we must completely, 100%ly seek to serve God with everything that we have and forsake ourselves. Does that wrap it up? Is what we're
in
what
a
you're trying
in
to
a certain sense? Because here's the deal. See, I don't know enough about love. I
Amen.
Can't
yeah.
go to all my brothers and forgive them truly in love. There are still people that I have a challenge with. I can't say that I love all of my brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And because if I did, then I would be in a sense lying, because you know,
yeah.
I'm saying that I.
Well, if you sin, if you say you don't sin, you make yourself a liar.
Exactly. In verse 2, it says here, after verse 1, it says, mm-hmm. therefore be imitators of God and as beloved children. Verse 2 goes, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
So the family, giving yourself up to your family. So that I would think that would look like you putting all your needs away. So like me, quit going
yeah.
to the gym. I don't
or,
really
yeah,
go
or
to
I got
to
work on the car.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be able to, I got to work more hours to be able to get this
a
boat
better house
and, or whatever,
hope.
All these things.
Yeah.
And what's more important is that the children, my wife, knowing that she is loved and cherished by me, that there is actually something that inside of me that she says to herself, says, man, I'm protected. I know that this man is here with me. He's not ever going to leave me, you know.
Amen.
Those are the things that we pray that God did not bring us this far just to drop us, that he allows
yeah.
certain things to take place in our lives that are going to sharpen us, going to strengthen us, going to
we
be
have
able
to let
to,
him. That's yeah.
right. And as a result of that, okay, as a result of that, they see that. See, when our children, and this is going to be a hard thing for guys to understand or sometimes to swallow, when our children see our weaknesses, how much better would it be if we were to admit our weaknesses to them? And let me tell
Amen.
You why. Because they already see them.
They know it.
And the fact is that we don't acknowledge it. Guess what that does for them? They thought, I'm not going to let anybody see my weaknesses
yeah.
because then that's what my dad does.
Well, it shows the pride that their dad has. So oh. then it's, you're going to pass that unknowingly down to them. And that's that pride is the downfall of man. That's the one. And I think going back with this, with my own not necessarily my youngest, but with my oldest and even my wife, I used to never want her to I'd get pissed if she corrected me or said anything. So, but now, I plead with her to tell me, you got to talk to me. So, cause she's used to how I used to be. And so she wouldn't say anything.
Right.
So now I get in arguments with her about her not saying something to me because right. I want to change. I want right. to have that, but she's still kind of, and rightly so because of how I treated her, you know, years ago. And so, but she's still hesitant with saying something to me, but we can't be like that. We can't get angry at our kids and our wives when they say something, hey, you know, I don't think that was right what you did. And our pride is a big downfall. I think when they do see that though, it also allows them, your wife and kids to know that, there is failure. You will fail. Right. They will fail.
Right.
But the thing is the, character of the man, behind, the father, pretty much that will make them honorable or dishonorable.
Right.
So if their sons can see, oh, he screwed up, but he is fixing it, he's humbling himself, I think they're truly going to respect that and honor that more than any kind of, oh, do this, this is right, I'm perfect, you don't want to do this, look what I've exceeded in and excelled in, you got to do the same thing, and then you'll be a good husband. If you. So I think if you work on humbling yourself to your family, that will have much more of an impact than most things will.
Okay, here's the application, okay? Here's the application, because many of us as men, we hear the things that we're saying about being a hero for your family, for those that you influence, okay, for those that God has put into your life to either take responsibility for, okay, not only financially put them under a roof, but to be able to teach them what God wants us to teach our children, okay, about him, okay. Many of us have fallen short in that area,
amen.
Okay? So first and foremost, know this. There's only one thing you need to do first, and this is where I'm going to kind of not necessarily
disagree.
Anyway, here's the deal, is that it's not the family first. It's God first.
Oh, amen.
You've got to make him first and foremost. You have to make sure that he's the one that knows that you're seeking him. And because you know what? He will know that. He'll know your heart. You have to be willing to ask for forgiveness of what's taken place in your life that you haven't asked for. To ask for forgiveness that you've actually neglected looking at him as being the one that we need to be giving praise toward and to be grateful for our lives today. He's the one that you make right first. And brother, we can do that right now today. Today is the day because you're listening to this. Today is the day that you make this right with him. And as a result of that, then you make things right with your wife.
Amen.
And you start to make things right with her, okay? Whether she's with you or not, you start to make things right, then you're going to be on the right track because eventually what will end up happening is that you'll make things right with your children. And when that happens,
amen.
And all of a sudden, your heart starts to change. Now you're starting to allow God to renew that heart and that mind of yours. And now you're becoming that man that God had intended you to be. He will reveal
amen.
Exactly what he has in store for you. Do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. He is with you. So stand
amen.
Firm in the faith, brother, and do it with other brothers who are doing it also. They will hold you up. They will encourage you and pray for you.
Amen.
The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Well, there you go, man. There, it's all about a hero. You can all wrap it up and take it to lunch. Like a hero sandwich.
I still don't get that. I don't know what a hero sandwich is.
Okay, whatever. Yeah, it's old school stuff. Anyway, how about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
All right. Father, I thank you for giving us the opportunity to share your word here. I ask that you would please let it sink in deep with all of us, Lord, that we may seek to serve you, that we can be a hero to our families, Father, that we would be obedient and submit to you totally, Father, with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, that we can help others in the same way, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.